Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. It is so good to be with you today. We're going to be looking at Numbers 13 today, which is maybe a portion of the Bible that you've not spent time in recently. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity to reflect. The passage itself just jumped out at me. And so today we're going to hold it. We're going to read it. We're not going to get super technical about the land of Canaan, and we're not going to go into all the ins and outs of it. I think we're just going to hold this passage as an invitation for us to consider what it looks like to step out when we feel maybe uncertain, unsure, or afraid. So I'm going to read a passage from Numbers 13. We're going to pray and ask for the Lord's help. And then we're just going to spend a little bit of time reflecting. And I'm going to admit to you, I don't even have notes on this one. I just felt a prompting to read and reflect together. So you're going to get maybe some more extemporaneous thinking from me than is even normal on the podcast, where I normally, you know, write a little devotional talk and we'll work straight from my notes. Today we're just going to reflect together. Numbers 13, beginning in verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and he said to them, "Go up there into the Negev and go into the hill country and see what the land is like, whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land they live in is good or bad, whether the towns that they live in are walled or fortified, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be bold and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now it was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they do it. 40 days goes by, and then a group come back. And now we skip down to verse 27. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." They had brought back grapes, like Moses said. "Yet the people who live in the land are strong, and the towns are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." And then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, I ask you to give us wisdom to not just honor the moment where Caleb and Moses and the Israelites are having this back and forth about whether they could enter the land of promise, Lord, but I pray that you would help us to see this moment as being symbolic or analogous of maybe some moment in our life right now that we are experiencing or being invited to experience with you, Lord. We ask, God, for your grace and your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here's what I'm thinking. Moses asks honest questions. There is something in front of them. Now, what we have to recognize is that God has invited the Israelites to move into a place of promise. Since they left Egypt, they've been moving toward the land of Canaan. And there's a sense of like impending entrance into a place of promise. So there's I think that's really important for us to name as we hold this passage. There's a sense of trajectory about this, I guess is the way I would say it. The Israelites are moving closer to a place that feels like it will be home to them. But as they get to the threshold, i.e. before they enter in, Moses asks a series of questions. It's almost like he's pressure testing. Okay, we've been moving toward this. We've been approaching promise. We've been about to step into, incrementally moving closer to. And then Moses is like, "Go on in and look around and tell me what we're up against." Now, I think it's interesting that he says to them in the midst of, "Tell me what we're up against." So like, are there walls or not walls? Are there trees, not trees? What does the fruit look like? He says, "I want you to be bold and I want you to bring something back, a first fruits of promise back." And so they go and they come back and they say, "We're up against something really big." And I love the fact that the report is an honest one. It's look at this fruit and then look, Moses, we've got real problems, and I don't think we can fight the fight that we need to fight in order to step into the promise that God has for us. And yet Caleb says, we're going to quiet the people. We can step into this. We can move in. And the reason why this passage, I think, really resonated with me when I read it today is just simply that we all run into seasons in our life where we feel like the Lord is inviting us to take risks, where he's inviting us to step out in faith. And then we get out into these journeys where we are maybe like moving closer and closer to that which the Lord has promised. And then we almost always get to the very end and we think, well, wait a minute, let's check one more time. And it's in that last look that things seem the most overwhelming, the most impossible, maybe. I even think of this as they move further into this story and they end up at the side of the Jordan River moving into the land of promise, and the Jordan was at flood stages. It's almost always at the 11th hour, things seem worse. They seem more daunting, more intimidating. And in some ways, that's because the closer you get to a thing, the more honest an assessment you're able to make of it, right? It's like the closer they got to Canaan, the more they were able to actually get their eyeballs on the people and the cities, and they were able to see exactly what it is that they were up against. And when I think about life, I think it's somewhat the same way. It's like the further out a dream is, the more romantic it feels, the more hopeful and possible it feels, but the closer you get to it, the more you're aware of the reality of the thing. I was just thinking about this on a walk with my wife today. You know, marriage is that way for so many people. It's far away, marriage seems easy and like a panacea, but when you get into it, you realize this is going to require everything of me. This is going to require that I lay down my right to be right, my desire to go my own way and to do my own thing. And I've got to actually now face the monsters inside of me, and I've got to learn how to grow and give. I think purpose is this way. The closer we get to the thing God has for us, the more real the challenges become, the more obvious they become. And this is where many of us are tempted to shrink back. I don't fault the people with Caleb who said, it is awesome over there, but we can't do this, because they were looking at their own resources. They were looking at what they had and forgetting what God had invited them to hope for and to work for. There's something about the romance of saying yes to the call of God or the purpose of God. There's something about saying yes when you're far away that actually can sustain you when you get up against the reality of how hard it's going to be. Caleb didn't forget. Caleb didn't forget the fact that, yes, there are giants in the land. We can be realistic about that. But God also told us that we were going to step into this place and it was going to be our home. He allowed the early confirmation and affirmation to sustain him when he was facing the reality of the hardship. And maybe right now you're at a place in life where the rubber is just right there hitting the road, where you are up against obstacles and challenges and hardships, and you're thinking, now that we're counting the cost, I'm just not sure that I have what it takes. Don't you think that the scriptures are full of narratives where people are getting to the place where they cannot and do not have what it takes, and the Lord says, that's exactly where I want to have you? I mean, in the last episode, we were looking at Psalm 107, where it was getting to your wit's end that actually put people in a place where they cried out to the Lord. We think about the disciples and the feeding of the 5,000. It wasn't until they acknowledged that they were out of food that Jesus was like, well, bring me what you do have. This is just another one of those instances. So if you're looking at something in your life right now that you believe God called you to lean into, I mean, there were times in my own life where I had to stop and remember God called me into leading a church. God called me into stepping into this relationship. God called me to invest in this place. Because you remembered the call, so that when you get into the moment where you're looking in the face of giants, when you're seeing fortified cities and things that you think you can't overcome, you're like, wait a minute, he brought me here. I remember hearing an old preacher once say, God didn't bring us out this far to lead us back again. And I think that's exactly what's happening here. Caleb was maybe the only one. And maybe Moses was already there and just wanting to see if Caleb and the others would get there too. I have no idea. Or maybe Moses was afraid himself. I'm sure he was. It's never fun to hear a bad report. But I think this moment was one of those moments where the Israelites, and by extension now you and me, there are junctures and times in life where we have to also acknowledge, God, you didn't bring me out this far just to lead me back again. Sure, there are giants in front of me. There are walls that I can't climb or obstacles I can't deal with in my own strength. And yet, Lord, if you brought me here, there's got to be a way in, a way through. So what I want to do today is just invite you to consider where you are in your life. And I want to invite you to remember the early confirmations of God. And maybe right now you're facing something that feels more visceral, more concrete, more overwhelming, intimidating. Let's watch that intimidation through the eyes of Caleb, who remembered what God had said earlier. And I believe the Lord would do the same for you and for me as we face the obstacles and the challenges and the struggles of life, especially as we experience the resistance that comes before we step into the next bit of the layer of promise that God has for us. Resistance, y'all, is just a part of the game. It's a part of the process. I would argue that resistance is what we always experience right before breakthrough. May you have the grace today to hold and face the resistance, to see the giants in the land and decide to move anyway. God bless you. Go in peace. We'll see you when we see you. Amen.